Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, welcome back, team. This is Todd Doherty and the Manage Me Podcast. Today, I have a special guest. Cheryl Haynes is joining me, and we have a bit of history, which we'll get into in a little bit. But Cheryl has a deep background in human resources, but also is now an executive coach, consultant, and leadership facilitator. So can't wait to hear all about your journey, Cheryl. But take a minute or so and just introduce yourself and what should we know about you?
Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Todd. What you should know about me, gee, you asked me to talk about how I got to where I am. So I guess I should just basically say, in a nutshell, I'm living on purpose and I'm doing what I feel like I've been meant to do for quite some time. And I'm just kind of following the path and where it leads me. And as you can see from my LinkedIn bio, it's led me to a lot of different places. And I will tell you that I am a student of synchronicity. So I
like that term. Tell me more. What does that mean? Tell me more about that.
I can draw lines back to prior events that have led to new opportunities for me in the future, which is current. So there is very little that has been of a positive impact in my life where I can't draw back a line to where I met someone or someone knew of me. My life has been a series of introductions and opportunities that I've kind of tripped over.
That's awesome. I mean, it's so true, right? I mean, while we try to plan our lives and we, you know, whether we go to school for something or we learn something or we go join an organization or start our own business for a certain purpose or path, it doesn't always work out that way. Right. And so I've got, you know, two daughters that have graduated college, they're out in the working world. And my coaching to them, who knew I was actually coaching them, but I was all along was, you always have to have a target, you know, always be aiming for something, always be going for something, always be moving towards something, but realize most likely that target is going to shift and change and adjust, but you always have to have a target. So it sounds like you've done that very successfully.
And I have.
And I think you used a great term, which is you said it so easily. It sparked a question for me. You found your purpose. I think there are many of us, me included, that are, I think we're circling on the target. I think we kind of know what our purpose is, but I haven't quite found it exactly yet. Tell me about that piece of your journey. How did that happen?
Sure.
Because you said that really confidently. I found my purpose and like, wow, that's awesome.
Absolutely. So one thing in terms of this, the synchronous activities, I found in this house when I moved here, we moved some boxes from our prior house. We've been in this house for 18 years. Wow. And I was cleaning out a closet that we had kind of stowed a bunch of boxes that, you know, how sometimes you have that one closet that you put boxes in and you never go back to.
Right.
Well, I finally made it to that closet during COVID because, well, what else am I going to do?
Right.
And so I go through this really large box, and at the bottom of the box, I find this journal that I wrote many years ago. I mean, prior to even meeting my husband, and we've been married for 20 years. And so I'm looking at this journal, and I'm like, oh, let's see what it says. And so the first five things in my list of things that I wanted to do for my in my life, of the top five, the fifth one was executive coaching.
Wow.
The top four were other things that have occurred in my life, including meeting my husband and having my children. Awesome. And so when I looked at that and I saw that executive coaching was something that I talked about over 23 years ago, back in the early 90s, I had gone to some workshops that were facilitated by someone named David Buck way back in the day when there was this organization called Coach You. And I had listened to it and I was really interested. I even went to one big, huge workshop with a bunch of other people who were getting into coaching. And I had thought to myself, well, geez, who's going to want to listen to me? I've not been around the, you know, around the block. I've only been doing this for a few years, but one day when I have something to say, that's what I want to do. And so coming through corporate America, especially as a woman, in particular, as a woman of color, I had certain experiences that I think have brought me to the place of my purpose, which was having experiences where I've been in the past voluntold to participate in diversity trainings. I've been included in emerging leader programs myself, but then always wondered how people were able to springboard those into opportunity. Where I have found my opportunities had come usually when I moved on to another company. I would get up, you know, rise up the ranks. And so going through those experiences, you wonder, why is it that it doesn't seem to work for me? But then I found a way. And so my purpose in my coaching is to help leaders in general. You don't have to look like me or have a similar experience, but because I've had the opportunity to learn how to navigate within a corporate environment, I am purposefully helping people to do that. And so although my coaching passion is around helping people who come from backgrounds that aren't traditionally ones that are easily promoted, I also work with people who do not look like me and who would appear to have traditional experiences. But what they want to work with me for is they want to better understand themselves so that they themselves can be more inclusive leaders. And so that's how I found my purpose. I have experience as being someone who has had to come up through the ranks where organizations didn't always know what my needs were, and I wasn't always ready to articulate them or know how to articulate them in a way that would help them and help me. Well, I have experience doing that now because you learn. And, right. And so I'm able to impart that experience through inquiry, because I'm not an advisor, I'm a coach. So through inquiry, I'm able to help people to see around corners, and I'm able to help them to consider what's going on the inside when right. They're thinking through and experiencing people so that they can show up differently on the outside.
Wow. Let me, there's so much I want to follow up on that. First, let me unpack the first piece, which was COVID. I think that for all the horrible, you know, issues and deaths and sickness and all that stuff, I think there was also, don't have any statistics on it, of course, but equally some really fantastic positive things that came out of COVID, right? Some folks who you kind of stepped back and said, what do I want to do with my life? Who maybe unpacked the box or found a notebook like I did early on in COVID and sort of helped me change perspective, changed focus a bit, and really kind of revisit things that you wanted to do. And I that's just such a great story that you found your journal, five things, you had done most of them. One, you're like, oh, haven't done that yet. I'm going to get back on that. Mm-hmm. Follow-up question to that is, do you still journal? Have you always journaled? Do you still journal today? What does that look like for you?
I have off and on journaled. I have a 17 and a 15 year old. And so they, with the very busy work life and having teenagers, I haven't always had the opportunity to. It was easier sure. when I didn't have children, but I have restarted journaling. The other important piece that I didn't share about the synchronicity is I also worked for a company that was sold. And so I had a nice severance that happened, started before COVID, but also led into COVID. So I didn't have to worry about what we were going to do while I was setting out on this path. So again, as I said, I'm a student of synchronicity. Things happen when they're meant to happen for me.
Right.
And so that's why I know I'm on the right path.
That is awesome. And I'm like feverishly taking notes here because I'm learning as well. You talked about your experiences too in the corporate world, because I've had some of these discussions too with individuals who've said, you know, I've always wanted to coach, but I felt like I needed to gain a lot more experience
and or slash credibility in order to do that? You certainly have in your corporate experiences personally, I know. Do you think that was key that you needed to do that? So maybe you wrote in your journal, I want to do this, but you, to your point, you know, synchronicity, you had to have that time period of getting those experiences in the corporate world. And then again, synchronicity, this perfect timing of events happened.
I think for me, absolutely.
Okay.
For me to feel the confidence that I would have something that I could add value to another's life, I needed to have those experiences.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting, though, that people can't be, because people are every day signing up to be executive coaches and they're succeeding in this space. But I think it does lend a level of credibility that I have had the experience. Again, when you're a coach, you're not an advisor, but just knowing that this person has gone through and has life wisdom that they can sort of share by way of probing and helping you to think through things differently, I think lends a credibility to the specialty that I present to clients.
Absolutely. I find that a lot too is, you know, just having, so I'm coaching someone right now who's started their own business short time ago, pre-COVID, mm-hmm. and just is not finding that it's, you know, it's not his passion. And so he's evaluating all these options, and the coaching is somewhat just a sounding board. Right. I don't necessarily have the answers of what, you know, he needs to do financially or career wise, et cetera. But, you know, having the ability to talk to someone who has some experience in the corporate world and business world, but just sounding board of, and I don't say it to him, but when I'm leaving our sessions and I'm taking notes, I'm thinking, yeah, it's kind of like the Dr. Phil, like, hey, how's that working for you? You know, it's that I find myself saying those kinds of things of, well, so what would that look like if this and this happened? And so, you know, if you said you wanted this, but you don't seem to be taking action towards that. So what's happening? What's that blocking? What's, you know, and I find that is a lot of sometimes what this coaching is being a sounding board. Do you similar thoughts? Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I would say it's effective inquiry because you're not there to give the answers because the answers are within themselves.
Right.
But it's also a compassionate curiosity, because to your point, when you ask sort of so how's that working for you? Right. But there might be other ways of asking and being curious to say, I wonder how that might have landed differently. Let's think about that. Why don't you tell me another scenario that you think might have worked in that situation? And how might you leverage that? People have within them the answers. I don't have the answers. And I worked with people from industries and in roles that are not HR and are not financial services, because I don't need to have the answers to help you to find your answers.
So that was one of my other questions is, do you find yourself or do you have a specialty? I was going to say, do you have an ideal client? I don't know if that's the right term, but do you tend to gravitate to these kinds of either issues, challenges, people, industries, etc.?
I would say I gravitate toward people who know that what they're doing could be more effective in either engaging teams, engaging people who are not like themselves, up-leveling their leadership so that it's not about directing. If you've got, you know, if you go from 100 people to 1,000 people, well, you cannot be directing. You really need to be engaging and influencing. So people who are evolving as leaders, but aware that it's going to take some introspection and looking at ways to change. So all of my coaching engagements, I like to focus on values, behaviors, interests, and relationships, because those are the things that create conflict for us, is if we run into situations or individuals who have different values, beliefs, interests, and relationships than we prefer. And so looking at ways to tease that out so that you can understand yourself better.
Right.
People who are ready to understand themselves better are my ideal client.
Ooh, that's a good point. So that is one of the challenges in this space is someone wants it help, wants coaching, wants to talk to you, wants to hear, but isn't quite ready to take the actions needed to change. Have you run into that at all?
I have. And so one of the relationships that I have is with a highly regarded academic institution, and the executive coaching that's provided to the program is in addition to the coursework, but it is highly encouraged, but it is not mandatory for a grade. And so I have run in on a there have been occasions that I've had conversations with students who are mid-level managers in the executive MBA program
Right.
who signed up to get the MIT MBA, but not necessarily to have an executive coach, or weren't necessarily ready to do the type of introspection required.
Right.
So
Yeah, that's
we
challenging.
run
Yeah.
into that
You can't force someone to do that, right? They have to want to learn and change, and yeah, that's challenging.
And that's why it's important. And I've also run into others who have coaches or who have had coaches, but when they talk about the coaching experience, it sounds more like they've had somebody who has been more of a paid confidant.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's
Yep.
different, of course, from a coach who is trying to help you to learn and grow and expand your horizons versus, being someone who will be a confidant that you can just talk to and share your stories with, but not grow.
Right. What do you think makes a good coach? We're kind of talking about, some of these areas, but if you had to define a good coach, what do you think is part of that definition? What are some of the attributes that that person should have?
I think that a good coach needs to remember their role is not to consult. Their role is to help the individual learn about themselves in a way that's meaningful, that matches who they are and matches the context in which they're operating. And so I shouldn't be giving you advice. I shouldn't be giving you your five-step plan for how to make something work. And I definitely shouldn't be coaching you if I don't have some cultural context, because I could be leading you down a path with even with inquiry that won't work within the environment that you're meant to lead. And so understanding that you have to have a real holistic view, but you also have to know your role as a coach.
Right. Good advice. Good advice. Are there any coaches, leaders, executives that you, and you don't have to name them, but who you're welcome to, but who you've had in your career, past, present, included, that you would say, become part of your knowledge base and bring that forward and go, I heard her say that one time and I've always carried it with me or something like that. Are there
Yes.
some individuals and are there any particular stories or phrases or tips and tricks that you carry with you from those individuals?
So there are two women who come to mind, and one of them is a mentor of mine who I've also had the opportunity to strategize about some future work that we might do together, which is amazing to me because, again, she's been a mentor of mine. And another individual who I am acquainted with, but getting quite close to, that said something to me that resonates with me that I actually wrote down. And so this woman has just recently become a master coach. She just recently got her MCC through the International Coach Federation. And when I was talking with her, I had said how I've been trying to transition my mindset away from one of a corporate, I'm not busy enough, to something different. Because when you're a coach, you really do have to change the I'm working for someone else mindset because you're working for yourself.
Right,
It's
right.
hard to break that mindset though when you come out of corporate because it's so indoctrinated in you how you have to make sure that you exceed expectations. And those
Right.
expectations are never yours, right? They're someone
Right.
else's expectations. So after decades of exceeding or working hard to exceed other people's expectations, it really is hard to divorce yourself from that mindset and to look at it in a different way. And so her advice to me when I had said, there are days that I just don't know, I just don't feel busy enough. And she said, oh my goodness, busy is not what you want.
Right.
When you're coaching, you have the ability to have a full life. You don't want a busy life. Right. Busy is chaos.
Oh, that's so true.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love that. I said, I'm going to write that down. And I actually have that on my mirror in my bathroom.
Yeah.
I want a full life. Busy is chaos.
I know I'm going to sound like a real geek, but I learned this trick from somebody at GE once, that, you know, whiteboard erasers work on glass really well. And so I'm such a geek, but in my bathroom on my mirror, I will use whiteboard markers because it comes right off. And I freaked my wife out one time doing that. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, it comes right off. It's great. But I will put things like that, a certain focus area I want to focus on, or just some motivational thing or whatever. So I love that idea. And I hope other people take that and run with that. Although, warn your spouse or significant other that you're about to write on their mirror before you do that.
Or do what we do and have two bathrooms on the same.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you don't even have to worry about it. There you go.
Exactly.
So similar topic. One of the things I work with folks on is, and I call it your career chasms.
Okay.
And I think there's two in your career. And this is, you know, made up Todd Doherty fictional career stuff. But you talked about it, about being busy, right? In the corporate world, you're sort of trained to be, you know, 8-10 hours a day. I need to be doing things, right? And skipping lunch was like a, you know, like
a badge of honor.
Like, I didn't even have lunch today. And I'm like, so now, you know, again, coming out the sort of the other end of my corporate career, I'm like, that isn't healthy. It's not productive. And having, you know, fill in the blank, downtime, thinking time, you know, whatever time that is equally as valuable as execution and tactical time. But no one teaches you that. You have to like figure that out on your own. My dad gave really great words of wisdom that I didn't comprehend when he told me 20 some odd years ago about, you know, as you get older, time passes faster. Your vacation time needs to be longer. You know, when you're in college, a weekend was plenty to recharge, and, you know, Friday to Monday, you're great, but you need that time. I think because you're just storing more and more information in your brain as well, as opposed to college versus now with kids and life and career and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But back to the two career chasms, because the shift in the first chasm is going from individual contributor to manager, right? And you mentioned it is, whether you've, you know, 100 people to 1,000 people. And I experienced it when we worked together, when I went from almost 50, 48 to 200. Mm-hmm. And, you know, X number of direct reports to Y number of direct reports, and, you know, walking the large room with the whole team of, you know, 100 some odd people, and not even knowing everyone's name was really troubling to me. I thought I was failing. Not walking down every aisle, knowing every single person's first and last name and their family and their kids and all that stuff. And believe me, I was working on it, but it was a big shift to not be able to do that. By the way, in the military, you don't have more than about 100 people under your span, because that's about how many people you can, and I don't want to use the term control, but manage effectively, okay. Which I think is probably a smart thing. Mm-hmm. So the two career chasms, one is individual contributor to manager, right? That's a big shift from doing to delegating. That's a big shift. And you can learn those tools and you can educate and you can be trained. Unfortunately, I don't think the corporate world trains people effectively enough to do that. I think they used to. I don't think they do anymore. They just take the best performing person and say, hey, you should be manager, because we're going to assume you're going to teach everyone else exactly what you do. Right. And not everyone does that.
No.
The second big career chasm is a much deeper, wider, challenging chasm, in my opinion. Again, this is Todd Doherty, made up fictional career advice, but that's the management to executive management chasm, right? And that one, you can study, you can read all the books, you can listen to all the great advice, but that one, and I think you were more than alluding to it before, is personal relationships and some quid pro quo, and you get invited over that chasm. You don't just skip over that chasm, right? It's a much different, again, my opinion, much different chasm that you need to cross over. Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, and as an HR person, I'm thrilled about that. But any thoughts on that theory? And have you seen that and experienced that with some of the coaching that you've done?
I have, and I will say from personal experience, the visual of the chasm is that it's below, and then you have the pinnacle that's at the top.
Right.
And the other challenge of executive leadership is when you're at the pinnacle, there is no more top. So yeah. You are it.
Right.
And that's a very lonely place to be.
Absolutely.
And it is also a place where you can expect that you're not always going to hear the reality of what it's like to work with you, or right, what the experience is that people are having with you as a leader, because people don't usually tell you when you're an executive the exact truth, sure, about how they're experiencing you. They either vote with their feet, or they use the water cooler to, right, whinge and whine about you. And so that's another piece, I think, where executive coaching really does help, is that when you're able to go in and talk to people in proximity to the leader. So not just if it's a senior leader, if it's a CEO, well, there's always members of the board, but then there's other people, direct reports, and other people within their sphere that you could talk to. And then to be able to play back themes to them as opportunities to say, it isn't about intention at this point. What we're doing, though, is examining how you show up.
Right.
Another thing that I had heard that sticks with me is Mike Zanni, who is the CEO of Predictive Index. In my work with the Rhode Island CEO Council, we have speakers that come in to address the CEOs who join us on a monthly basis in these meetings. And Mike Zanni was one of the speakers. And one of the examples that he shared that he tells all of his employees is that there is an example he was once told of having a front of the t-shirt and back of the t-shirt when you're a senior leader. And I've used this with clients and it's resonated with them. So the front of the t-shirt is what people are willing to say about you when you walk into the room. They're all great things. You're the leader, they wanna pump you up, they want you, right, to feel like they're loyal to you, so they say the front of the t-shirt things. But as a leader, if you really wanna be effective, you absolutely need to know what's on the back of your t-shirt.
Right.
What is happening? What are they saying after you leave the room? Because that's where your impact lies. That's where your personal growth lies. And so what I can do as an executive coach, again, the value I think in coaching is helping people to look around corners to see what's coming.
Right.
They can talk that through in a safe space with me, but also to know what's on the back of their t-shirt. What do people say? Because how can you influence people if you don't know how, right, you show up?
And I'll add, hearing those things, reading those things, seeing the back of the t-shirt hurts sometimes. And it's hard not to take that very personally and go down this, I'm failing spiral and all that. But if you have the right coach and the right mentorship to turn that and say, well, hold on, let's look at it as an opportunity. Let me help you shape that into something that's a little more positive. But yeah, definitely. Just thinking the back of the t-shirt was going to be, stabbing in the back, but
no,
not quite that bad.
Although I'm sure there's some of that goes on. But no, it's just, what if I were walking out of the room, what would be written on the back of my t-shirt that people are saying when I'm leaving the room?
Absolutely. That's a great visual. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
So from here, I love your journey, love where you're going, and love the analogies and examples that you're giving. What's next for you? What's the path? I know your journey to here. What are you planning for your next part of your journey? What are some of the things that you're looking to do and achieve?
Yeah, I'm in the process of trying to draft a 2023 strategy. I have not done that since I've started coaching in 2019. A lot of what I've done is respond to requests for me to work on engagements for other organizations who have been very kind to me and have kept me quite busy over the past 3.5 years, for which I'm very grateful. And they continue to do that. And I
Awesome.
love the diversity of engagements and on all of that. But what I'd like to do a bit more of is work on my brand.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so I launched silently a website on my LinkedIn page. And I did that with a professional web designer. And I even had a photography shoot because I wanted it to be polished.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, in my mind, put a line in the sand for myself that says there's no going back now. This is you, Cheryl, the brand.
You've
And so I
burned the
did that.
ships, right? That's the
Exactly.
phrase. You've burned the ships. You
That's
can't
it.
sail back.
No looking back.
Nice.
However, I've continued to be busy with some of these other engagements and coaching assignments, for which I'm very grateful. But I want to do some speaking.
Awesome.
I want to do some. I'm here because I love the opportunity to speak to people about what I do to get the word out about who I am and how I approach coaching and the world in general. I'd like to do more branding of me. And so
Awesome.
that's what I see as the future, speaking on topics, writing about topics, doing podcasts, all of that I'd like to do more of in the future.
Awesome. Yeah, finding, you found your niche. Now it's executing on that, branding that. So when people think about that, they, oh, I need to call Cheryl. I need to call Cheryl Haynes immediately.
That's right.
So if someone who's listening, if they wanted to reach out to you and they like what you're saying, and I can't imagine they wouldn't, but and they wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach out and get connected with you?
So my LinkedIn profile, you can find a link to my website. Take a look and see what what I stand for, what I'm talking about, some of the things that I can offer. But what I am quite interested in is helping companies in terms of team effectiveness and inclusion. I would say a tagline, if I were to have one, would be, I'm what comes after your diversity training, but I'm not a diversity trainer.
Okay.
And I'm all about inclusive and collaborative team effectiveness. I think that's an offshoot of diversity, but it's not
Agreed.
just about difference. It's about you and me difference. It's about people who look the same difference. It's about
Right.
everybody is what I stand for.
That's a challenging space. And I love that. So, Cheryl Haynes, I will put all of this in the podcast notes as well. So if you're listening to this and go to the podcast notes, you can read all that. I'll have the links there. And you'll be able to go to Cheryl's LinkedIn, which will also take you to her website and contact her. And I would love to leave this door open just a slice. So maybe down the road we could have another podcast and we can hear about your speaking engagements and how your branding has been so successful and all of those things. So I'm going to hopefully, leave that door open and you'll be open to, coming back in some point in the future and having another podcast, hopefully. But I really want to thank you for reconnecting after all these years as well. Super fantastic to hear about your journey and all that you're doing and really, really enjoyed our conversation and best of luck to you in all of your goals and your 2023 planning and hopefully that's all a success. I know it will be.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And absolutely, I would love to come back and share. And that will give me an accountability partner so that I can
There.
have someone to share that with. But
Absolutely, that's what it's all about.
thank you
Yeah.
so much for the opportunity to Todd. And thank you so much for reconnecting. This has been great.
No, it's been fantastic. Super, super happy we were able to reconnect and glad to have you on the podcast.
I want to thank you for listening today. Really appreciate you spending time with me. Hopefully, you learned something. I want to remind you that I want to hear from you. So, if you have a question or input, remember go to manageme.godaddysites.com or email me at manageme.podcast@gmail.com. On the website, you'll be able to submit a voice recording, something that you want to hear, something that you want to have on an episode. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your topics, your guests, your input, your feedback. hopefully good, but also bad. Talk to you soon.